keep my ordinances. Leviticus 18 verses 1 to 5 is the text for our consideration. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." God gives His holy laws so that His people may be protected from the pollutions of sin. And the fear of God would grant to the people of God the strength in their heart to want to obey God. From Leviticus 18 to verse 22, or chapter 18 to chapter 22, is taught the daily life of practical holiness in ancient Israel. You see, God set us apart to be His people. And the telltale sign of God's people is in the way they live their life, their daily life. And therefore, the Lord is very interested in our daily walk, our daily life, how we live day by day, day to day, the things that we engage ourselves to do, the things that we should do, the things that we ought not to do. God is very interested. And being a people of God, right, we are a people that God has set apart to be His precious possessions, to be His precious children, and we are guided in our life, daily walk, through the statutes, the ordinances, the laws that God gives to us. Now, why is it that God had to, through Moses, make so many statutes, make so many decrees? The word ordinance means anything that is prescribed, anything that is prescribed. And the word statute means set up, from the root word standing. What are the standing orders for your life? What are those things that the Lord would want you to do, want you to follow? Right? The decrees of the Lord were given to Moses orally and written by Moses at God's instruction. And you see, the laws that we have today comes from God's law. Right? Singapore law is taken from Indian law. Indian law is taken from British law. And British law is taken from Roman law. And Roman law is from the laws of God. The statutes that God has engraved in our laws provides for us the way by which the people of God can be protected. And therefore, these statutes, these holy laws that God gives, permeates to all aspects of the believer's life. And from chapter 18 to chapter 22 is given for us seven areas of things in daily life that the people of Israel are to follow. And God will stipulate them one by one concerning every area of our lives. H.T. Spence says, "These are most practical things, and we should realize throughout that holiness is strictly demonstrated in those daily administrations of life, both private and public." So our life is not just the time when you meet people, it's also your private time. Right? God is interested that our life, whether it's private, whether it's public, brings honor and glory to His name. And so the Lord tells us, imparts to us this knowledge, knowledge of holy things. And that is understanding. That means you have a clear way by which you know how to live your life. You see, we teach children when they are young. Why is it so important to teach them? So that when they grow up, they know how to live their life, right? They learn how to take care of themselves in the morning when they wake up, right? They would have to teach them how to brush their teeth, right? How to rinse their mouth, how to clean their face, right? How to wash themselves, how to prepare themselves for a day. So there are so many things that a parent would do to teach the children, right? For the nation of Israel, a nation that God would raise to be an exemplary nation for all the nations of the world. God would instruct very clearly so that Israel as a nation would become an example to all the nations of the world. You know, a day is coming when our Lord Jesus Christ will return and He will rule from the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. He will rule there, and Israel will be a nation among the nations, nations of the nations, in the sense that our Lord Jesus Christ will be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and He will come and He will rule upon earth for 1,000 years. And the world is going to change. You know, this world that we have is fallen, cursed. Well, God will restore this cursedness that we are living today. Yeah, the people in the world today don't want God, don't want the statutes of God, don't want the ordinance of God, don't want to follow the ways of God. They will tell you there is no God. Where is God? Cannot see. So who is He? They have no understanding of the holy things, the things of God. They do what they want. That is why the world today is so chaotic, so fearful, so frightened. But the Lord did not leave His people without help. The Lord left His people with His words, with instructions, how they ought to live their life. And so before getting into the seven areas of practical living, as Spence said, verse 1 to 5 will provide for us the introduction of urging God's people to adhere and obey God's revealed will for practical holiness in their daily life. So God wants us to know the holy things, understand it, so that we may be able to practice it. You can teach it to your children. If you don't understand, you can't teach your children, right? You have to learn it first, and it has to be not only inside your head but has to be in your heart, so that you have the conviction to carry it out in your life. And then you would be able to teach it to the people, right? Your own children, your own grandchildren, the people around you, so that we would live a life, right, receiving the blessing of God. I live the life that is according to the designer's plan, right? There is God is our great designer, right? He gives to us all the things that we need. So sorry. Now, what is the reason for God saying to Israel that they are to obey? Well, if you notice our text, the Lord tells us, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. The Lord wants us to know the sacred authority by which these laws are enacted. Matthew Henry says, I am the Lord your God. God made us. You see, it comes from the Creator himself. And therefore, it's good for us. If we follow it, it will really help us. And the Lord wants us to learn it well, know the things of the holy, and to have his fear so that we would have the wisdom to obey and do. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And so the Lord wants us to know, and the Lord wants us to follow. Right? He knows best what is it that we need, because he is the one that formed us. Right? Last Lord's Day, we learned how God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, right? And how he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Right? Life came to us because God breathed life into us. So that life that we have comes from him. If he withdraws it, we have no life. You see, so men need to learn to fear God, love him, follow him, serve him. It's a filial love for a good God. God's laws are not meant to harm us. God's laws are meant to aid us, help us, teach us so that we may do the things that would benefit and strengthen us. So, three thoughts. Do not, what not to do, verse 1 to 3. And verse 4, do. What are the things that we ought to do? And verse 5, what is the result? When we don't do the things that we ought not to do, do the things that we ought to do, live. In other words, you have life. God's life is extended to you through his ordinances. This was the reason why God gave his laws. And here would be passed to us the broad instructions that the Lord would want us to obey and follow. So verse 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, talk to them, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. The sacred authority of God. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. Don't follow the people in Egypt. Okay, first thing. Second thing, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, ye shall not do. Have they gone into Canaan yet? Not yet. They are still in Mount Sinai. Right? They are encamped below in Horeb, and God is going to bring them to the promised land. But God already gave them the instruction. Future. Right? Future. How they can be protected. So the Lord says to them, after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Right? Neither shall ye walk in their statutes. Walk in their ordinances. Right? What is the meaning of the word ordinances? Right? They are prescribed way of life. The way they live, don't follow. Right? The way they live, don't follow. Okay? But to follow the statutes of the Lord. So Leviticus 10 verse 11 says, "And that ye shall teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." And so what is it that the Lord said to Israel that they ought to do? Well, Psalm 1 verse 1 provide us a very good parallel verse to teach us the instruction of separation. Separate from the world. Separate from the unclean things. Right? Separate from those things that would harm you. Right? "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Holiness is the character of the godly. And the cultivation of godliness or holiness in the believer's life begins when we choose, right? We choose not to make ungodly friends. Okay? Not to make ungodly friends. The Lord wants us to choose correctly. Right? And the Lord uses this in Psalm 1 verse 1, negative instruction, just like he did in Leviticus 18, verses 1 to 3. "Blessed is the man that walk not," right? "That stand not, that sit not." Right? Three verbs that describe the way by which we get lured away from following God. Right? What will they do? They will influence your mind. Then they will cause you to have a conviction to follow. And then you would sit with them, right? To be in the seat of the scornful. That means you would begin, right, to reject the ways of God, to begin to reject the things of God, and say, "No, I don't want to." So the Lord says to Israel, right, that there are two people that are around you that you must not follow. Right? The first, you have experience in the 430 years you were in Egypt. Right? Egypt was a very idolatrous place, full of idols, right? An idol for every day of the year. So they were plagued, right, with a great confusion in their heart. Confusion. And you know, when we follow after idols, when we follow after the things that that draw us away from God, you'll find that we lose time, we waste time, and our life become fruitless, right? Unfruitful, right? And we will regret, right? We will regret. And so the Lord says to us that we are to be very, very careful. The things that God said, don't do, don't do. Right? Remember in the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam and Eve, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that ye eat, thou shalt surely die." How appealing and pleasurable is the enticement to sin. Now, when you are being enticed, attracted, you can be... You can be drawn away very quickly. And temptation come just like that in a while. And if you are not on guard, if you are not ready, you are not prepared spiritually, right, you can fall. And so the Lord is saying to us that let us realize, right, you are in danger zone, right? When they go into Canaan, right, the Canaanites' practice will ruin them. Okay? Very immoral and very idolatrous. Okay? They would practice those things that would harm their lives, right? Harm their family, harm their children. And so the Lord says to them that you must not follow them. And the Lord is saying to us that we must have that wisdom to know and understand the holy things, and then to have the strength of heart to obey. Sometimes we learn it the hard way. We fail because we fail to see the strength of the temptation, the power of the evil one to tempt and to cause us to fall. But we know also that God will not leave us without hope, without help, without strength. And therefore, there is a way out in every temptation. God will see to it. And so the people of God are to be prepared. Right? Prepared. Prepare to stand in the time of danger, right, according to the ordinances that He has given us. All right. So He teaches us, and we need to learn. And God wants us to learn. And so, how can we learn? How can we learn? Well, the Lord says in verse 4, ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances, page 4, right at the top, page 4. To walk therein, I am the Lord your God. Right? What did He say in verse 4? Shall we read together? Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. So the people of Israel are exhorted to obedience, a solemn charge to them to keep God's judgments, statutes, and ordinances. Right? What God tells them to do. Judgment. Right. God says this thing cannot. Right. This is what you should do. Right. To the perpetrators of evil, you have to follow. You have to just learn, right, to follow and separate yourself, right, from evil. And so the Lord wants us to know. Make time to bear spiritual fruit. Now, how to do? Well, you have to be prepared, you know, to take time to study God's Word. Right? This is what we are doing, coming for Bible study, week after week, come for Bible study, relax time. Right? In a relaxed time, God give you time, you can slowly think, slowly learn. Right? In the time when the disaster come, when the problem hits you, do you think you have time to think? Do you think you would able to make a good decision at that time? You'll find that at that time you would panic. Don't know what to do. You become so fearful. Right? And you become freezed. You are freezed. Right? And so, you know, at that time, you find that it's where you would have to be able to make the right decisions. And therefore, when God gives us the time, right, every time God gives us an opportunity to learn His Word, to study His Word, in times of peace, don't neglect. Because the time of crisis, when it comes, you will have to act. And you have no time to think. It's already programmed in you what you ought to do. The things of the holy, right, is understanding. The fear of God in you will grant you the grace, the strength to do. And you simply act according to the instructions of God. So the Lord wants us to, in other words, redeem our time. Right? The psalmist says in Psalm 1 that we are to take time to delight in the things of God. And you would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Right? The picture of a tree that is fruitful because it has strong roots and it is well watered. Right? Like a river, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The man who meditates in God's word is planted and protected as a tree in a garden, cared for as a tree of the field is not. Right? A tree in a garden. If you have a garden and you are the gardener, you know, in a garden means that you're kept, the place is kept. All right. So every morning the gardener would come and make sure that, you know, with a water hose to spray the water, right, so that when the sun start rising and scourging the garden, there is enough water beneath to sustain it. Not like in the field, in the wild, nobody takes care. Nobody takes care. And so the Lord tells us that bearing fruit comes not all the time, but in its season. There's an appointed time for fruits. Right? And the Lord is saying to us that we are to take time and learn and know God's law, God's ways, and then to take time to form a conviction, then we would be able to do what God would want us to do. All right. Now, what is the consequence of, or what is the fruit of obedience in the life of God's people? Right? It's peace, it's joy, right? It's righteousness. Right? It's righteousness, it's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Right? This is the fruit of life with God, you see. And if we have this with us, right, the Lord ensures, right, that He will take care. He will be the one to fend for us. All right. So verse 5, the third thought, do not do. And verse 5 says, live. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So God guarantees for you life. He guarantees. He said, I am the Lord. I will see to it. But this you have to do. And the Lord is saying to us, this you must do. Right? The ways of holiness is life. Romans 7 verse 12 says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy, just, and good. If we know that it is good for us, then let's learn it, do it. Right? The giver of the law is none other than God Himself. And so the Lord wants us to know. And when we have learned it, right, then you would be protected. Right? Psalm 1 verse 4 and 5 says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Page 5, right, at the bottom. Page 5 at the bottom. Therefore, The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the way of, in the congregation of the righteous. Page 6 at the top. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So the Lord gives the admonition not to reject God's way, but to do according to God's way. Right? The chaff refers to that part of the harvest, right, that is useless. You would harvest the grain, right? The chaff is no use, right? So what the Lord is describing here, or what the psalmist is using, right, is to describe those who refuse to obey, refuse to follow. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Paul says in Ephesians 4:22-24, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the Lord wants us to live, right, that life, or to live. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and he shall not perish. Right, page 7, just before our conclusion. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and he shall not perish. Right, you see the bracket there? You see the bracket? It's not included in the words of the psalmist, right, but this is what he meant to say. Right, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and he shall not perish. But the Lord knoweth the way of the ungodly, and he shall perish. But the way of the ungodly, he shall perish. But the Lord knoweth the way of the ungodly, and he shall perish. So there's a contrast that is given there. And the Lord is saying to us to trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for thy mercy. Grant us thy wisdom to follow thee according to thy good word, thy holy laws. Grant us understanding and grant us obedience, and give us life according to thy mercy. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.